Well, now I'd like to move into chapter 19. And as we're ready to begin chapter 19, we'd like to note that the Apostle Peter comments on this 19th chapter. 2 Peter 2, 6-8, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Before getting into this 19th chapter of Genesis, let's look at Lot's circumstance. The scene now shifts to Sodom itself, the chief and example city of the five cities of the plain. It was to Sodom that Lot and his family gradually moved. They were drawn like a baby to the edge of a cliff. He first pitched his tent toward Sodom, Genesis 13:12, then dwelt in Sodom, Genesis 14:12, then finally sat in the gate of Sodom, Genesis 19:1. The gate of a city was the place where the business and commercial activities of the city centered, and also where the judicial council of the city took place. Quite likely, Lot himself was now some kind of a city official or a magistrate of the place, for that seems to be the meaning of the term sitting in the gate. However, it could simply mean that he liked to sit at the city gate, where he could easily take part in the conversation and trade that thrived there. However, Lot presents to us a rather discouraging picture. Here was a man who had participated in one of the highest callings ever given by God to man, and who had been with Abraham to experience great revelations and deliverance by God from difficult situations. Yet Lot now was seemingly right at home in the midst of the life of one of the wickedest cities that ever shamed the earth. Lot was well aware of the wickedness of the city before he went there. He had pitched his tent toward Sodom. He knew it before he began to actually dwell there. We just read where Peter in 2 Peter 2:8 says, "That righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." So why did Lot stay among them? We do not read of him trying to teach them in any way in order to turn them back to God away from their sins. It is quite possible that he was satisfied that he could do so well in the business, commercial, and political affairs of this life as a godly man living in an ungodly crowd. Such a combination of interests is just like playing Russian roulette with one's own soul. Eventually, there will be a terrible price to pay. We may lose any or all of our family, and we may lose our own soul. Lot here is a perfect picture of a modern-day, carnal-minded person who claims to be a Christian. He thinks he has the best of both worlds, the eternal benefits of knowing the Lord as Savior, but also all the temporal benefits that come from worldly influence and worldly possessions. And as a bonus, he has the acceptance by and fellowship with men of the world. The gross wickedness of the worldly people may vex his soul. He may not want to enter into all of their activities, but in general he gets along with them very well and has no apparent conflict with their worldly ways. But a day of reckoning is coming. So we now move into chapter 19 of Genesis, and we'd like to read the first three verses. "And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold, now, my lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." As Lot sat sitting at the gate of Sodom, the two angels that had left Abraham approached the city about sundown. When Lot saw them, he rose up to meet them. Lot evidently saw something in these men that was very different from the general society of Sodom. He showed them great respect. He bowed himself with his face toward the ground, verse 1. It seemed that he was the only one to offer them hospitality. The very nature of these two men would not be compatible with the average Sodomite, but Lot well knew the kind of treatment such strangers received in Sodom. He moved quickly to try to shield them from such abuse by taking them into his own house. They at first declined Lot's invitation. This may have been out of politeness, but it may have been a test to see how really sincere Lot was. But Lot knew that spending the night on the streets of Sodom was very unwise, so he pressed upon them greatly, and they agreed to stay. Lot had promised them a place to stay all night at his house. They could wash their feet and rise up early and go on their way. Lot was entertaining angels unawares. When the men entered his home, Lot prepared them a feast. It is significant that the only ingredient of this feast that is mentioned is unleavened bread. The fact that Lot baked the bread rather than his wife may suggest that his wife did not welcome these strangers in her home. But it's very interesting that this is the first mention of leaven in the Bible. In the Bible, leaven is generally a symbol of evil doctrine or practice corrupting God's people. The next mention of leaven in the Bible is when the Passover feast was instituted, when God's people were specifically instructed to observe the feast without leaven, and as a matter of fact, they were to put away all leaven out of their houses, Exodus 12:15. It is significant that here, at the first mention of leaven, the absence of leaven is associated symbolically with the spiritual fellowship with a remnant of believers and their God in the midst of totally corrupt society. Much like small groups of faithful worshipers may be today, leaven is involved with the fermentation process and is a perfect symbol of the breakdown that occurs with decay and corruption. It is important that spiritual fellowship not be contaminated with it. Now, verses 4 through 11 of chapter 19. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Here we get a look at the terrible degree of sin at Sodom, but also the involvement of nearly every person in this terrible corrupt state. Certainly the cry against Sodom should have been loud and long. They were all wicked. Wickedness had become universal, and they were all together in their vile purpose. Here were young and old, and all from every quarter engaged in this riot. Either they had no law and authority to keep the peace, or the law allowed for such behavior. When the disease of sin has become an epidemic, it is fatal to any place. Isaiah 1:4-7, Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger, they are gone away backwards. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers, devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Here Isaiah speaking of the condition of the nation of Judah before God brought the great judgment of the Babylonian captivity upon it. In this passage, in Genesis, the impending judgment is on Sodom, and Sodom has the same type of condition. Well, in our next lesson, we'll continue with this story. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.